Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm just going to touch on a little more on what we had talked about or shared the last time. We were talking about these messages on being strengthened with might, but the last message we were talking about was that we were our place of authority, and we were talking about that, and if you, well, we won't touch there right at this moment, but our place of authority is with Christ and in Christ at the right hand of the Father. But Ephesians chapter 3, as I was sharing, and let's look at verses 9 through 11. And this begins to share here God's intention for the church. You may ask yourself, well, you know, we know God sent Jesus in the likeness of human flesh and for sin, but he also, what was the purpose? Not just to redeem us. That was one of it. But he had a plan, didn't he? And he's going to reveal that plan and has through the ages. But look at verses 9 here in Ephesians 3, and it says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." See, he talks about this as a mystery. "Which from the beginning of the world hath been" what? "Hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now," he's talking about now here, "unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God," verse 11, "according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." So you can see here that God had a purpose. He had an eternal purpose, and it was in Christ, but it was for the church. See? So here, in this, let me just read a couple of other translations here. The New Living Translation, in verse 10, it says, "God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places." That's powerful. That is just powerful to me. That was his purpose, to redeem us. He raised us up with him and seated us with him to rule and reign. He's the head. We are the what? The body. Where is the body? The body's in the earth, but the head's in heaven. He has conferred authority to the church. To do what? This says here, let me read it again in the New Living Translation. "God's purpose in all this, making known this mystery." His purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authority in heavenly places. What does the scripture say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. This is what we wrestle against. But God's purpose was that we display his wisdom to all these unseen rulers and spiritual forces. That's what his purpose was. Not just to come to church on Sunday and feel good and go home and say, "Praise the Lord, wasn't it good?" Yes, it was, but the purpose is that we come, we learn the Bible to walk in this authority, to know what's been given to us, to know who you really are in Christ and what you have and what you can do. See, that was his purpose. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, it's wonderful. And so it goes on. Let me read it from God's Word translation. He did this so that now, through the church, he could let the rulers and authorities in heaven know his infinite wisdom. See, it was hid in God, and now he wants to reveal it through the church to all these unseen forces. See, now they know they were defeated, but when they come up against us, the church, they try to do what? Tell you that you're nothing, you ain't got nothing, you ain't doing nothing. And God wants to reveal to them, you're defeated, you're whooped, and he's in me. See? And keep reminding him of his defeat. See? So we see here that in the scripture, the church is to be used as God's instrument in declaring to these powers, these rebellious powers, the wisdom of God according to his divine purpose. That's what he wants. He wants to use the church as his instrument to do that. See? So his plan, and you can go through the scriptures. I mean, a lot of this just comes to, you know, you can think of so many scriptures here, but it says his plan was to prepare in Christ what? A people chosen, called, right? That he might place in these heavenly seats, these people. We're talking about the church. To rule through the ages yet to come. He wants us to rule. See, that's the thing. Isn't it interesting? We're not going to not be seated with him when he takes the church back up. We're going to rule and reign through the ages. We won't have the devil to fight because he'll be released for a season. But we are going to oversee with Christ. So we're not, you know, this is just a period we're walking through to what? Enforce the defeat that the devil has been given. To reach people, to let them know that Jesus did all of this, and to let them know that he loves them. So if you back up, let's back up just a moment and look at verses 1 in that chapter. You can see here he talks about the mystery which was hidden in God. Look at verse 1. It says, "For this cause," in chapter 3, "for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you had heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by how? Revelation, he made known unto me the mystery." How did that mystery come? Through revelation. To Paul. "As I write afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be what? Fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Think about that. I'm just stop here. What does 2 Peter say? That according to these great and precious promises, we are what? Partakers of his divine nature. This is what he's really saying here in a way, isn't he? Where was I? Partaker. Verse 7. "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the" what? "Effectual working of his power." This is why we're talking about this power that's working inside of your spirit. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And then he goes on where we picked up before. But you can see this mystery was hidden, but by revelation, the Holy Ghost has revealed and is revealing to us this great and precious thing that we have, isn't it? It's precious. So let's go back. Let me go down. Let's jump back down to verse 12. Well, I'll read verse 11 again. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Say the power that worketh in us. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This verse here, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. The complete Jewish Bible says, I pray that from the treasures of his glory, he will empower you with inner strength by his Spirit. So we are empowered with inner strength. You could also say, you know, a lot of times something that is becoming more clear to me and more real, and I thank my sister for sharing some message, Aloma, for sharing something with me that has been an immeasurable blessing to me about the healing power of God, but it has context or aspects in other areas. And on this, Brother Doug Jones shares, and he was teaching on the healing power of God, and he was referring to something that Brother Hagin did and shared here in 1992, August of 1992. And he read from a transcript on this, but he talked about Brother Hagin was ministering here in the sanctuary to a couple. And he said he had just laid hands on this woman, and I believe she had blind eyes or something, and her eyes opened and she was healed. And he said this couple came that had a baby with club feet. So they were turned in the opposite direction. And he said to this couple, he said, if it's any comfort to you, I have a stronger anointing now than when I just ministered to this lady. And he said, I'm just going to hold these feet for a moment or so and let the healing power of God flow into these baby's feet. And he did, and he held the baby's feet. And he said after about a minute, he took his hands off, and he said the feet were still in the same condition. But he said the power of God flowed into those baby's feet. And he said, I don't know why, but it just came up out of my spirit. This is what he said. And I said to this couple, keep the switch of faith turned on. And Doug Jones came and he said, you know, and this is a long, elongated message that he was sharing, but in context, he said, what is the switch of faith? And he went into detail, and he said what Brother Hagin meant by that is he said, first, the switch of faith is you have to believe that the power of God is present and that it's in you and working. He said, that's the switch of faith. He said, you will notice in the scriptures that Jesus went places and the power of God was present to heal, and they didn't receive it because they didn't believe it was there. He said, the power of God can be present, and you cannot, you can be oblivious to your senses. You understand what I mean? But you've got to believe that it's present. And so he said, this answered the question for him why people get in healing lines time after time after time after time after time. They go up, have hands laid on them, then they have hands laid on them again because they didn't believe that the power of God was present. Now he said they may have received something, but Brother Hagin, if you hear him, we've heard him many times here, but he said, Jesus laid the fingers of his hands in my hands. And he said, it won't work unless you tell them, number one, and number two, what they do with it after they receive it. We've used this example many times. I could walk over to you and hand you a $100 bill and say, receive it. And you go, thank you very much. I'll take it. And you do nothing with it. You could stick that $100 in your pocket and not spend it. And so it's the same thing. The healing power of God can be received in you, and you don't believe it's working. See? And this will answer some questions about the love of God, because you could say, I can't love that person. And the Word of God says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The Scripture says that. And so you can turn around and say, I can't love that person. That's a lie. Because you have to believe that the love of God is what? Been shed abroad, and it's doing what? It's working. It's working. And so there's a part on our part that we have to believe that something is in me and it's working, and I've got to say it. And so to finish up this story, he said this couple took their baby and they said they went home, and every day they said, the power of God has gone into our baby, and it's working in it. It's working in our baby. And they said the next time they brought that baby to Brother Hagin, the feet were normal. Because the power of God got activated. Because they believed that the power of God was present and went into the baby. And they, as parents, began to say, we believe that, and it's working. And he said, here's another reason. He said, a lot of times people don't receive healing because when they go up on a healing line, because there's no manifestation, because they don't fall out, they don't feel they got anything. So they walk away, and they go, I didn't get anything. Because I didn't fall, I didn't quake, I didn't shiver, I didn't feel something, no manifestation, so I don't believe I got anything. You missed it. You just turned the switch of faith off. And he said, that's what Brother Hagin says, this is where we miss it. Doug Jones said the same thing, this is where we miss it. Whether you feel something or not, what activates, you have to believe. Because what does the scripture say? The Great Commission, lay hands on the sick and they might be covered. They shall. They shall what? Recover. So the recovery starts happening the moment hands are laid upon me. And I have to say, thank you, Lord, the healing power has been received and I'm recovering. It's working in me. and the healing power is driving out this sickness or disease out of my body. I don't know why I'm over on this, but anyways, it'll help. So we have to believe that the power of God is working and it's active in my body, right? Praise God. And I'm convinced, I really am convinced of this, there is not one sickness nor disease because he's above every name that's named in heaven and in earth. That means his healing power will drive out every sickness or disease in our body. Now, there can be some reasons why it could hinder that, but all things considered, if you're walking in love and you're not in bitterness or strife with somebody, and you're not out of fellowship with God, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm saying if all things being equal, you're in fellowship with God, and you believe you receive the healing power of God, and you activate it, and you say, I believe it's working in me. It will drive out any sickness, any disease out of your body. Amen. And the problem is we unhook and we turn it off because we walk one day, 2 days, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 years, 5 years, and we start going, I ain't seeing nothing. You turn the switch of faith off. Turned it off. Amen. So now, let's jump over to Ephesians chapter 1. I want us to look at this for a few moments. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And the devil is defeated. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's pick up here. This is a prayer that Paul was praying to the church at Ephesus. Looking in verse 16, it says here, well, I could back up a bit, but for the sake of time, we'll just start with verse 16. It says, cease not, or you could say he ceases not, to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to what? Us word who do what? Believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he what? He wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things, to who? The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now I'm going to continue because I have a thought here. In chapter 2, verse 1, and continuing, it says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And you notice here that hath he quickened is italicized. This is in the King James. That means it was not in the original transcripts. It was added by the translators. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened who? Us. Who's us? That means us and Jesus. Right? He quickened us together with Christ, or you could say that's true, us as the church, together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together, where? In heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his kindness toward us. How? Through Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, what's interesting to me is if you look at the scripture here, it says that what? We were dead in trespasses and sins, and then it goes down and it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, who? With Christ. By grace are you saved. Now, and then it says, and hath raised us up together. Raised us up from where? From the grave. He took our sins to hell. It wasn't his. So he raised us up together. He was the firstborn of many. So isn't it interesting when you look at verse 20 in chapter 1, it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. I kind of like want to put in some parentheses in here and say, and raised him and us from the dead. Because it says down here in verse 6 here, it says that we were raised up. You see what I'm saying? Just a side note. Anyways, so we can see here as we look on, let's go back here to verse 21. It says that he's been raised up, and actually, here's the point in making that point. And it says here, and what is the exceeding greatness? Verse 19, the greatness of his power, that word is dunamis power, to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him and us from the dead and set who? Us at his own right hand with Christ. Where? Look at verse 21. Where? Far above. Who's far above? See, it's a lot of times they say, yeah, Jesus is far above all principalities. You are. In him, you are far above all principality, all power. You could say, it says and, you could say, and all power, and all might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And see what he says? And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. We're seated with him far above. We're not deity, but we've been given authority with him. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that's named. Is sickness not a name? Is poverty not, is lack not a name? We've been seated with him far above that. Hallelujah. So he is the head, or you could say the representative, of a redeemed church. He's the head. We're the body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me continue here. So verse 21, it says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I want to read for a moment, just for a few minutes here. This is something that is from a book called Sparkling Gems. It's from Rick Renner. He's a noted author and writer. He's also a Greek scholar, I guess you could say. He has a church in Moscow from the States. But he writes some things about this particular verse, about principalities and powers and might and dominion. And it's insightful. So I'm going to just read this here, what he said. He said, let's take an in-depth look at this verse to learn exactly how exalted Jesus Christ is in this universe. So I'm trying to keep this in context because what? We are seated with him. See? So he's saying here, let's learn exactly how exalted he is, because that'll show you who you are in him. First, we see that the Apostle Paul declared that Jesus is exalted above all. He said in Greek, this word above is Greek word, it's H-U-P-E-R-A-N-O. He said, which means high above or far above, and refers to both rank and dignity. In the context of this verse, it means quite simply that no one in the universe has a higher rank, name, or position than Jesus Christ. No one in the universe has a higher name or rank than Jesus Christ. Furthermore, to affirm Jesus' highest position, Paul added the word all, above all, which is the translation of the Greek word pas, meaning anything and everything. He's above anything and everything. Oh, yes. Anything and everything. By using these two words together, huperano, H-U-P-E-R-A-N-O, and P-A-S, he left no room. This is the Holy Ghost giving this. I mean, he's writing this, but he's talking about the scripture now. He left no room for misunderstanding or doubt regarding his message, that Jesus Christ holds the highest and most exalted position in the entire universe. He is literally above all. Paul went on to describe the specific categories that Christ is above. First, he stated that Christ is above all principalities. He said that word principalities is from the Greek word arch, A-R-C-H-E, and it denotes rulers of the highest level. This encompassing term refers to all human rulers, including kings and politicians. However, it must be noted that the word arch is also used in Scripture to refer to angelic beings. So he's above all, anything and everything. Human and angelic. He's above it. This means Paul was declaring that Christ's exalted rank is far above all human rulers and angelic beings. The natural and the spiritual realms, are both under the dominion of Jesus Christ, and there is absolutely no one in any realm more highly exalted than him. Hallelujah. So that means we are seated with Him in Christ. So we are seated far above all of this with Him. That means we don't exert at His direction. What is this saying? He wants to operate through the church at His direction. So when things are going on, and that's why when it says in 1 Timothy 2, first of all, we're to do what? Lift up supplications, prayers, intercessions for all men so that He can operate through us for kings and authority and so forth. Hallelujah. Then it says here, Paul then mentioned Christ's superiority over powers. The word powers in the Greek means exousios. This word describes people who have received delegated power and therefore is often translated authorities. In the context of Ephesians 1:21, this word exousios refers to people who hold public office and wield authority entrusted to them by their superiors or through election. Paul was teaching that although these individuals yield substantial power and influence in the affairs of the world, their authority pales in comparison to that of Jesus Christ. At the time Paul penned these words in the first century AD, this was a very dangerous and powerful statement to make because Roman political powers were actively persecuting the church and attempting to suppress the message of the gospel. However, Paul wanted his readers to know that no matter what authority or politician might try to exert over the church, Jesus had rank that was even higher than the most human authorities. Oh, yes. That's why it's so comforting to know that no matter what goes on in this government, Jesus is Lord. He is Lord, and if the church will operate together and pull together and not be divided over issues and things going on, that He will be Lord through the church. Because He is over all. And if we pray and take, what does the scripture say in Matthew 18:18? What things soever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Or most of the modern translations say, whatsoever we forbid on earth is forbidden by heaven. Heaven backs us up. So we need not be moved by things going on in the earth. We need to be moved by God. Hallelujah. Next, Paul wrote of might, which comes from the Greek word dunamis. The word dunamis denotes explosive power, but it also was regularly used to describe the full strength of a military force. By using this word, Paul declared that Jesus is exalted in His authority and power, even above all the military forces in the world today. He said, and he continues here, as if this list is not already complete enough, Paul added one more word. He stated that Christ is supreme above all dominions. And he said, this means lordships. It could refer to any world system, political, financial, or any system of any type. There is simply no system more high-ranking than the Lord Jesus. Finally, to make sure he has included everyone and everything on the list, Paul added, and every name. Isn't it interesting? Principalities, powers, dominion, and might, and every name. He said if the list hadn't been as complete as it was, he added in every name that is named, not only in this world, but what? In the one that's to come. He's Lord. So he says here, in one sweeping statement, Paul declared Jesus is Lord over all. He is literally superior to rulers, elected leaders, military powers, and constitutional authorities. He is literally Lord over all. He is Lord. And we need to remember that who we're ruling and reigning with. What does John say? We can do nothing. What does it say about the branch needs to stay connected to the vine? Because the branch can do nothing of itself. So when we're connected to the vine, we are ruling and reigning with him far above all of the things that are going on here in the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the elevation, just going to read this comment, the elevation of his people with him to the heavenlies has no other meaning. You think about this. The power of God that was exerted when he was raised from the dead was pointed who? Manward. It wasn't for him. He was raised, we were raised, and we were seated with him. So this says here, what was the purpose for that? So that we were made sharers of the authority which is his. We're sharers of his authority. We're made to sit with him. That is, we share his throne. Isn't that exciting? That's exciting to me. To share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. So if a government has the supreme authority and they confer, just think about it. When the president of this United States selects somebody as the Secretary of State, they go in another country, they do what? They represent the authority of that nation. They speak on the behalf of that nation. That's exactly the same as a police officer does. He has the authority to do what? To exert or establish or to keep the laws of that country. His badge represents something. You've been sealed with the blood of Jesus. You are his child. And the devil knows it. The question is, do we know it? Amen. So this verse, let's just finish with verse 22. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So I'm just going to read just a sentence from this book here. He said, John Macmillan said, let us reverse the words to bring out more clearly their deep significance. Head to the church over all things. His being head over all things is for the church's sake, that the church, his body, may be head over all things through him. So, and I share that because when we talk about Jesus is Lord over what? He is above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's named. We are a sharer in that authority above all. And he wants to operate and exert that authority through us above all, overall. Anybody getting a hold of this? Because I tell you, the more it dawns on you, the more it gets in your heart, the more light comes, the more, like Brother Hagin said, the more you meditate along a line of something, you begin to see more light in an area of the authority that you've been given. And what he writes in this book, he said, we will, as we get more apprehension in an area, as we get more comprehension in an area, we will go from a place of asking God to do something to commanding something to change. That's what will happen. Because you will walk in your authority to the degree that you have apprehension or comprehension, or you could say revelation or light. So you will go from a place of saying, oh God, help me, to you get out of here. You leave my house, you leave this city, you leave this nation. And when the church Because isn't that what the scripture says? It says that God placed in the body some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of their ministry, till we all come into the unity of the faith. This is the point. When the church comes together in the unity of the faith, in the revelation of who they are, I'm telling you, the devil's got to go. It's not going to be no more, oh God, please help us, we're going down the tubes. It's going to be, get out. In the name of Jesus, because He is Lord. Amen. You see. Glory to God. So I just, you know, we share these thoughts. Meditate on them. Get a hold of it. Look at the scriptures in Ephesians 1 and 3. And read those scriptures over. Here's something, and I'll close with this here. That's why this little book is so invaluable, because you have these ministers that have received insight and revelation in the Word of God. And she shares here in her little book, she has a chapter in here. She said here, how I minister in the heavenlies. This is this. Now, you know, you could say, oh, that sounds spooky. No, we are seated in heavenly places for a purpose, to minister from that place of authority. So this is what she says. She says here, this is how I minister in the heavenlies. She said, how I do it. She said, almost every morning, I'm just going to read a little bit here. She said, almost every morning I do my ministry in the heavenlies. I do it from a seated position, since I'm seated with Him at the right hand of the Father. At home, I do this from my comfortable prayer chair, because I'm seated. See? Now, she's in her 80s, so she can do that. You may walk and pray. I don't know. Or you may sit in a chair. She said, first I pray the prayer which begins in Ephesians chapter 1, which we just got done reading. Verse 17, but I do not stop at the end of the chapter. I continue with Ephesians 2. She continues. Verse 1 and then skip to verses 4 through 6 or 7. She said, here is an example of my prayer and how I rule and reign. See, remember what we got back? I was using that example. I was talking about healing. You've got to believe that you are seated in heavenly places, and that you are in that place. How? Because you believe. It won't work for you if you don't believe. Neither will the healing power, and you've got to activate it. This is how she activates it every day. She said, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, please give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of Your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of Your dunamis to usward who believe, according to Your mighty power, which You wrought in the Messiah, the Anointed One, when You raised Him from the dead, and set Him at Your own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this age and world, but also in that which is to come. And You have put all under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all to the ecclesia, the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And Me have You quickened when I was dead, slain by my trespasses and sins. But God, who was rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved me, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. When He quickened Him, he quickened me. When he raised him, he raised me. When he seated me in him. Therefore, in him, I am seated far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. And in the name of Jesus, I will now rule and reign over the powers of darkness, because the Lord told me to in Romans 5:17. For I have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Therefore, I now reign as a king in my life by one Jesus Christ. Kingdom of darkness, listen to me. I hold the blood of Jesus over all things pertaining to me, and I forbid your having anything to do with. And she puts dot, 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 and she goes, from here, I follow my spirit. I start with family, usually I name them, then I plead the blood over myself, spirit, soul, and body. I move then to the good works he has ordained that I should walk in. I name them in their locations, and the people and places adjoined to me in these good works. I cover houses, properties, and vehicles. And she continues. This is how she rules and reigns. In him, far above. When he raised him, he raised me. When he seated him, he seated me. Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion. And we need to believe that and say it. Amen. And you will rule and reign in life through one Christ Jesus. And she goes on in this book, I'm not going to read it, but she goes on and talks about her son. Some of you may remember this. It was back in 2012, Branson, because they're out of Branson, Missouri. Everybody remember that bad tornado? It was like an EF3 or 4 or 5, something very serious that blew down the middle, right down through the whole tourist section of Branson, tore it up. Her son lives in Branson, and the tornado was headed right towards his house. He said the house was shaken. They got down in the basement. He began to plead the blood of Jesus. He said, he started doing this, ruling and reigning. He said, Mom, I was nervous. I was afraid, but I began to rule and reign with my words. He said, Satan, not one shingle, not one shingle off of this house. And when the tornado blew through, everything around him had been destroyed. Houses had been ripped up, not one shingle off of his house. Not one shingle was removed from his house. He said even the insurance adjusters came. He said they came through with the news and said, man, isn't this amazing? Not one shingle off of this guy's house. So we can rule and reign. And we can make known the manifold wisdom of God to a principalities, powers, and might, and dominion. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know we shared a lot, but it's exciting to me because we don't have to come up short in life. We don't have to be subject to the devil's stuff. Amen.